Blog Talk Radio.
Sister Mary, if she will be the
official responder for the people this evening. Shalom, Sister Mary. Yes, happy Feast of Unleavened.
Happy Passover Feast of Unleavened, brother.
Amen. Will you be the responder, the official responder for the people?
Yes, I will.
All right, amen. Let me open up the other mics here. Other phone lines. If you have any background noise, you may want to mute yourself on your end. This is a participatory event. We are, even though we're online, you know, we still want to participate. I want to read from the book of Exodus, chapter 11 and 12, and then we will be coming mainly from 13 and the New Testament as far as the service goes. There are some things that I ask. And I asked for them kind of late, but this is from the Passover from the last year. So you should have, you know, your Passover meal. You should have your bitter herb. You should have your lamb. If it's not lamb, some other meat. You should have a bowl. You know, if you're doing this in a group, then you should have a bowl and a towel. So that you can do the ritual washing as part of this service. And then the salt water or vinegar that's going to is representative of the bitter times we had, our forefathers had in Egypt, and the bitter times that we have in sin. We are actively practicing sin. So those are just some things that we're going to need for this. If you don't have them, don't worry about it. We're going to proceed. And as far as when I ask for the response from the people, we will have Sister Mary on this Passover making a response for the people. So I will mute everybody else out at that time. You can respond on your end, but so that, you know, we have clarity and there's not a whole lot of confusing sound. You know, because people starting reading and repeating at different times, you know, it just sounds confusing. And so we have one person responding for everyone, but you can still respond, you know. So I'm going to ask everyone, if your mics are not already muted on your end, to go ahead and mute your mics when you're in your phones or open. But, you know, mute your mics on your end, and that way when you are responding, then it won't come across the phone and we get people starting at different times. So we'll have one person responding for the people as a whole, okay, and that way it's just more orderly that way. So we're going to go ahead and... I asked if there were anyone who wanted to volunteer to read tonight, whether you're male or female, to read in Exodus chapter 11 and Exodus chapter 12. And let me check my email. I don't think I got any responses to that, any volunteers. But if you did volunteer or you want to volunteer now, you can press the number 1. If not, I will do the reading. Let me see here. No, I don't think I got any volunteers for that. So then I will do the reading of Exodus chapter 11 and 12. And we will proceed with this Feast of Unleavened 2022. Okay. So if everybody will turn into your Bibles to Exodus chapter 11 and 12. We got a lot to do on this evening. I pray nobody's in a hurry. This is a holy feast day, and we want to, you know, take the time and to raise up the Most High and be obedient to him as he has dictated. So let me have everybody turn into your Bibles to Exodus chapter 11. And you can read along with me from that standpoint, starting in verse 1. And Yah said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And Yah gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith Yah, about midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maid servant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how that Yah doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And Yah said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And Yah hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the children of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the soul. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take up the blood and strike it on the two side posts. Oh, let's see. Lost my place here. Give me a second here. And they shall take up the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is Yah's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the Elohims of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am Yah. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And you shall keep it a feast to Yah throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your house. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them. save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your house. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall you eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your family and kill the Passover. Verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it into the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For Yah will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yah will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to see and to, you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you come to the land which Yah will give you according to as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of Yah's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as Yah had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. And it came to pass that at midnight, Yah smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve Yah as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their cloths upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And Yah gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel, journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and the flocks and the herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of Yah went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto Yah for the bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yah to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And Yah said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money. when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to Yah, let all his males be circumcised, and let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourns among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as Yah commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass, the selfsame day, that Yah did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and their army. We have read not all the plagues that the Most High used to cause Pharaoh to change his heart, even though we know that the Most High is the one that hardened Pharaoh's heart in the matter of bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, for he wanted to judge Egypt. But we also know that the Passover is the Most High passing over the children of Israel and killing the firstborn and all the firstborn in Egypt, anybody that was not up under the blood. And so this is representative. This is a what they call a type and a shadow of Messiah, of Christ. So the service that we're going to do tonight is going to incorporate, we're going to do what the Most High said, that we should remember this night, how he brought us out of Egypt on eagle's wings. But we're also going to incorporate into it Messiah, our Passover, because it's critical that we observe and include him in the Passover, because his work on the cross causes the Most High to pass over us in judgment for our sins, to forgive us our sins. And so we need to bring him into the remembrance of this. So in Exodus chapter 13, go into your Bibles into Exodus chapter 13. And we're going to read verses 8 through 10. Exodus chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. As thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which thou did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, and Yah's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand as Yah brought thee out of Egypt. We are commanded to keep this appointed time. The Passover is the night Elohim delivered his people from the Egyptian bondage and slavery, and from the powers of darkness that ruled over the land of Egypt. Just as they were delivered from the power of the enemy and set free from bondage and slavery, so Yahushua has delivered us from the enemy of our souls and set us free from bondage and the slavery of sin in a new type of Passover. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast of Yah throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So we are commanded to yearly to observe this. Doesn't matter whether we are in the land or not. The Most High knew that he would scatter us. And so we are commanded to keep this ordinance forever. This was a night when Yah kept vigil to bring them out of the land of Egypt. And this same night continues to be a night when Yah keeps vigil for all the people of Israel throughout all their generations. Exodus chapter 12, verse 42. It is a night to be much observed unto Yah for bringing them out from the land of Egypt, that this is that night of Yah to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generation, no matter where we are at, in the land or scattered. The focus of the Passover is the blood of the Lamb, which is represented in the four cups which we drink tonight. Now, before we move into this, anybody that is using wine, real wine, I want you to not be liberal with it, because we're going to drink four cups or four glasses okay? And so four glasses of wine can make you tipsy or drunk. So when you pour a cup for this ceremony, you know, just be cautious. You know, don't drink it like you are trying to get a buzz, because we are in this is a holy holiday, okay? And so we want to remain, it's a celebration, but we want to be remain sober as well, all right? So if you're using wine, I'm not saying don't use wine. Never will teach that. If you're using wine, just be conservative with it so that you don't get drunk. Because we will be doing more or less four toasts, okay? If you're drinking grape juice, then there shouldn't be a problem there. But if you are drinking wine, I just want to caution you to be kind of conservative with your glasses, because by the end of this service, you will have drank four glasses of wine. Part of that being the communion is sort of included in this, okay? So just a caution. All right, let's continue here. So the focus of the Passover is the blood of the Lamb, which is represented in the four cups which we drink tonight. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. That is Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. The eternal principles of Elohim's salvation are illustrated and explained in the Passover meal. The Apostle Paul, and let me see here, my mouse just started acting up. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, just a minute. All right, thank you. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 through 8, "For Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." We're supposed to search through our houses for all unleavened and remove it from our homes. But that also is representative of the unleavened or the sin that is in our lives. And so we're also supposed to search our lives for all the sin that we may be doing and get rid of it. Keep the feast with unleavened. Leaven represents sin in this case. So the Passover story gives us the blueprint for salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to get verses 1 through 5. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. "Peter, an apostle of Yeshua HaMashiach, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of Elohim the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of Elohim, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So this meal that we, this Passover meal, celebrates the Passover in the past, and it celebrates the coming of Messiah, and it celebrates the second coming of Messiah. It is a story of our past redemption and a future one yet to come. Passover was and is a shadow of what was to come in the first coming. In the first coming, by the death of Messiah, and also of Elohim's end-time judgment and redemption of the earth. Yah commanded us to keep his feast by eating unleavened bread for 7 days and to remove all yeast from our dwelling. Exodus 12, verse 15, Exodus 13, and verse 7. So it is in compliance with his command, we have searched this place and house and removed the leaven. Yeast is a symbol of the deception of untruth and is corruptive, and its corruptive influence, which leads to sin. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, clean out the old leaven of wickedness and malice from your heart. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, and 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. So we are keeping this night in honor of him, him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom of priests unto Elohim and his Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. We'll now have a song. And I sort of just heard this one today as I was searching. And let me see if I actually uploaded that. Yeah, I don't think I uploaded this song. All right, I'm going to play a different song, and maybe at the break I can get this other song uploaded. Yeah, I'll play this song for right now.
Life or the shadow, for all your tomorrow, if no one
you got.
Commanded by Yah, in your feast days, in your holidays, and in your new moons, in the Passover, blow the shofar. Keep this Passover as an appointed time to meet with you to remember our salvation and to renew the covenant once again with you that we made when we accepted Yahushua as our sacrificial lamb to atone for our sins. We thank you for your truth and that you have brought us to this day of remembrance. Amen and amen.
Amen.
The celebration of this Passover points to Yahushua, the Messiah. He saved us from the power and the bondage of sin by becoming as our Savior and our Redeemer. He became the Passover Lamb in his death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven as the Lamb of Elohim. We enthrone him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here tonight and celebrate this feast in anticipation of that great day of our final redemption. When he returns to take us to be with him forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are going to, rather than lighting the seven candles of the menorah on this Passover, we're only going to light three. And these three candles represent the light of Messiah. Yeshua said, I am the light of the world. Whosoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John chapter 8 and verse 12. We light the candles here tonight as a token of the spiritual illumination he has given us in keeping his commandments. Just as Yahushua, as the light of the world, was born into the world by a woman, we customarily give this honor of lighting the candles to a woman, to set apart this evening to Yah, our Elohim. Let us pray together and invite the presence of Yahushua into our celebration. Blessed art thou, O Yah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who has sent thy Son, thy only Son, Yahushua the Messiah, to be the light of the world and our Passover lamb, that through him he might live, that through him we might live. Amen. We set this evening apart and welcome you into our gathering tonight. And let us light the candles. Let your light so shine upon us. And give me a hot second to light these. Now, when we do this in meeting, then I will assign this to one of the females to do. All right, so we have the three candles of the menorah lit. The book of Numbers, chapter 6. The book of Numbers, chapter 6. Starting in verse 23, verse 23 through 26. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, Yah bless thee and keep thee. Yah make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yah lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The symbolic cups of the Passover. During this celebration, we will drink four cups according to Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am Yah, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt, of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 7, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you Elohim. And you shall know that I am Yah your Elohim, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. The four promises Yah made to our forefathers. In Exodus, I will bring you out. I will rescue you from bondage. I will redeem you. And I will take you as my people. The titles of the four cups are progressive. So each of these cups represents one of these titles. I will redeem you. I will rescue you. I will bring you out. And I will take you as my people. The titles of the four cups are progressive, four-step prophetic plan for his redemption, his redemptive plan, and represent the overview of our complete salvation. From our initial call to come to repentance to the final consummation of our betrothal to him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The last fourth cup extends to the fulfillment of the new covenant promise in the millennium and beyond. Cup number one, the cup of sanctification. So I want each and every person, the cup that you were going to use for your wine or your grape juice, I want you to get it now. And I want you to pour if you're drinking grape juice, however much you want. If you're drinking wine, be conservative with it. As I said, you're going to take four drinks when this is all over. And we want to be of sound mind. We want to remain sober. So go ahead and pour you a glass right now. This is the first cup. And as I explain these cups and what they represent, then we can prepare. Cup number one, the cup of sanctification. I am Yah, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. In this he separated and brought us out from the world and the dominion of Satan. The second cup, cup number two, the cup of deliverance. I will deliver you. I will deliver you from being slaves to them. And in this, he delivered us from the enemy and the power of sin in our lives. Cup number three that we're going to drink, the cup of redemption. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. In this, he paid the ransom price and purchased us with his blood, giving us new life. Cup number four that we will drink, the cup of glorification. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your Elohim. He will come and take us to himself, completing our redemption, body, soul, and spirit. Then you will know that I am Yah, your Elohim. Cup number one, the cup of sanctification. I will bring you out. This is the cup of sanctification, which is called a kadosh, or the cup of blessing, and represents us being called out of this world. Yah redeemed and delivered Israel from the world and its influence and brought them unto himself so that they could serve him and be a holy people, set apart to him. On the night of Yahushua's betrayal, he said, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of Elohim. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of Elohim comes. The book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 14 through 18. With this cup, we will set this night aside as different than all other nights and sanctify and dedicate it to Yah, our Elohim, our eternal Elohim. Blessed are you, Yah, our eternal Elohim, who has chosen us and given us your commandments and appointed times to bring forth the fruit of the vine and has sanctified us by your word that we might abide in you forever. Let us all drink the cup of sanctification with joy and give praise to Elohim. So everybody take the cup, drink the first cup of sanctification, and praise Yah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. We thank you and we glorify you. We give you thanks, Father, for sanctifying us, your people, and setting us apart to keep your holy days and to keep your commandments. And we glorify thee, O Yah Elohim, for all that you have done for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. If you were able to, I ask that you would have a bowl with some water in it. And this is going to be for a ritual cleansing. A ritual hand cleansing. In the future, when we meet for the Passover, then the second washing, we got a ritual hand washing, and the second washing will be the washing of the feet. Okay, but right now we'll do the washing of the hands. So you need a bowl with some water in it, and you need a towel. And if you're doing it as a group, then whoever the head of the house is, take the bowl and the towel. You wash your hands first. You don't have to, I would recommend that you have already washed your hands. You know, you're not coming in from working on the car or something. But wash your hands, dry them, and pass the bowl to the next person. And we will give everybody, because I don't know how big the groups are, in your family, but this should be done per family, and we want to do the ritual hand washing. And so while we do that, let's listen to a song, and after this song, we will proceed. So take the bowl, take the towel, and each person in your family, washed their hands. Before any person was to enter the temple, they observed a ritual washing. As we enter his presence this night, we immerse our hands as a ritual cleansing from all the contaminations of the things of the world. The book of Psalms, chapter 24, verses 3 through 5. The book of Psalms, chapter 24, verses 3 through 5. Who shall ascend into the hill of Yah? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from Yah and righteousness from the Elohim of his salvation. Now we all symbolically wash our hands in preparation for eating the Passover elements. Please pass the bowl around the table, and we've already done that. We have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we go before the Most High in prayer. Blessed art thou, Yah, our Elohim, our eternal Elohim, who has sanctified us by your word and by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Elohim, and has commanded us concerning the immersion of our hands, a ceremonial cleansing, designating our allegiance, symbol of life. This is a traditional appetizer taken at feast to symbolize that we are partakers of his life. This feast is intended to impart new life to us by renewing our covenant vows with Yahushua. We take a green plant, parsley. So if you have some parsley or anything, any type of vegetable, I sent out a request that if you had some vinegar, or some salty water. You know, you can just take a cup and put some salt in it. Put some water and put some salt in it for a ceremony. It's going to represent something here in a minute. Okay? The plant is symbolic of the hyssop, because I don't know where you can get hyssop at these days. I think it may be native to that part of the world. But we want to take this green vegetable, whether it's parsley or whether it's, celery, whatever it is, whatever you have available there. If you don't have anything, by all means, don't worry about it. The plant is symbolic of hyssop, which the Hebrews, our forefathers, used to place the lamb's blood on their doorposts. The salt water is symbolic of the tears of suffering under the bondage of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. It's a microcosm of the world. And when we were slaves to sin, the custom of serving dates back to Jerusalem of the first and second century, when it was common to begin a formal meal or a feast by passing around vegetables as hors d'oeuvres. The vegetable was dipped into salt water before eating. So that custom of dipping the vegetable into the salt water is something our forefathers did way back when. And we're sort of bringing it forward. So if you have the parsley or you have some celery or you have, any type of leafy green vegetable, if you'll get it, and if you have a cup of salt water, or can get a cup of water and put some salt in it, or vinegar, this will represent that. The significance of the Passover. Yah said, in the future, your children will ask you, what does all this mean? Then you will tell them, with the mighty power of Yah brought us out of Egypt from our slavery. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 14. Hebraic tradition contemplates the response of four types of sons as of four different types of soil, which Yahushua outlined, into which the message of salvation would be sown. There is the wise son, who is the good soil, the simple son, who lacks depth, rocky ground, the uncommitted son, caught up in the things around him, and the wicked son, from whom the demonic forces steal the word. And so the story of deliverance is told to relive the Exodus and the implant of the message firmly into the hearts and minds for the next generation. So we address the question, why is this meal different to all other meals? And what is the meaning of the bitter herbs? the unleavened bread, and the lamb. So we're going to discuss each of those elements of the Passover meal. What is this meal? Why is this meal different from all other meals? What is the meaning of the bitter herbs, the unleavened bread, and the lamb? Yah said, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, they shall eat the Passover sacrifice. This meal, this night in this Passover meal, we commemorate the Exodus out of Egypt when Yah brought us out of bondage and provided Yahshua as the lamb without spot or blemish to atone for our souls. The bitter herbs. We eat bitter herbs to remind us of the bitter slavery our ancestors experienced when they were oppressed by the Egyptian taskmasters. We also experienced the bitterness of slavery and bondage to Satan in his dominion over us before we accepted Yahushua into our lives. Bitter herbs are also a cleansing agent. And as we eat the bitter herbs, we are reminded that the consequences of this bondage to sin, the consequences of bondage to sin is bitter. And we need to be cleansed from this its evil influence by his word. The bitter herbs also remind us of the suffering of Yahushua, endured for us in order to set us free. The book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Dipping the bitter herbs into the, if you got what is called the chariot set, which is like a sweet dip. Usually it was like an apple and honey, cut up apples and honey as an example. But if you have that, then you're going to dip the bitter herb into that later on. So by dipping the bitter herbs into the chariot set, we remember that even the most bitter experiences can be made sweet in our Savior. The unleavened bread. We eat unleavened bread tonight to remember that because they had to leave Egypt in haste, they had no time to leaven the bread. We must also be unleavened and leave behind everything of our old life so as to be uncontaminated by the influences of this world and worship him in sincerity and in truth. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And if you will turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we will read verses 6 through 8. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, that old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The lamb portion of this feast, this meal. Elohim commanded Israel to take a lamb for a household on the 10th day of Nisan or Abib, however, whichever month you want to name it, and set it aside until the 14th day, when its blood was to be placed upon the doorposts. It was to be eaten by those within the house so that the death angel would pass over. The book of Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. It was to be a lamb without spot or blemish. Yahushua was the lamb of Elohim and as such was spotless, without blemish, and without sin. During the final week of his life, Yahushua was examined by many people, the chief priests, Pilate, Herod, Ananias, Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, the high priest, Judas, the centurion, the repentant thief. John declared of him, "Behold, the Lamb of Elohim, who takes away the sins of the world." He was the sacrificial lamb which atoned for our sins and procured our salvation. Since Yahushua became our Passover lamb, we no longer eat the lamb as far as that night because we were commanded to eat an entire lamb. It's not wrong for you to have lamb. But have here the shank bone. And the shank bone, if you use the bone of the lamb that you have, the shank bone, which represents the mighty arm of Elohim, his son, who brought us all forth from the hand of the enemy. So let us go through the Passover story. Yah called Abraham out of the land of Babylon to a land of Canaan where he, with Isaac and Jacob, partakers of the same promise, lived as strangers and pilgrims in this world. To avoid a terrible famine, Joseph was taken to Egypt and placed in the position to provide food during a great famine of our people. They came and dwelt in Egypt, and many years later, a Pharaoh arose who did not know Joseph, and he oppressed the children of Israel, forcing them into cruel slavery from out of the burning bush. Yah called Moses to lead the exodus of his people out of Egypt into the promised land of Israel. Pharaoh did not want to let the people go, and there were many plagues visited upon Egypt to force them to let his people go. Finally, after 10 great plagues of Elohim's judgment, Pharaoh let them go, though he changed his mind many times. And we know that the Most High hardened Pharaoh's heart to make him change his mind. It was only after the last plague, with the death of the firstborn of the sons of Egypt, that deliverance came. It was at this time that the Passover meal was first eaten. The angel of death passed over the houses, which had the sign of the blood of the sacrificial lamb upon them. But the sons of Egypt were destroyed. Though Pharaoh let the people go, he sent his armies to try to recapture them. And it was then that Elohim opened the Red Sea so that Israel could pass through. Pharaoh's men followed and drowned when the waters returned, and Israel was set free. We who have trusted in Yahushua, the Messiah, believe he is the Lamb of Elohim, our Passover. Like the ancient Israelites, we know that it was Yah himself who achieved final redemption from sin and death. It was Yahushua, the Lamb of Elohim, who died on the mountain of Elohim, in the same place where Isaac was offered, at 3 p.m, exactly when they were slaughtering the Passover lambs in the temple. Yah himself provided the sacrifice that took our place through the Passover of the Lamb of Elohim. We have been made free. And we should keep this in mind, that the Most High did to Messiah what he wanted to do to all of us. For our sins, he put it on one man. By the blood of the Lamb was Israel spared. By the blood of the Lamb was Jacob redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb was death made to pass over. The second cup, the cup of deliverance. So if you'll go ahead and pour another glass or a cup of wine or grape juice. The second cup of deliverance, I will free you, representing the 10 plagues. Religion in ancient Egypt was a complex polytheism. They worshiped many gods that covered every aspect of their life, being dominated by one of their deities. The 10 plagues were directed challenges to the worship of the Egyptian deities, who were thought to protect the Egyptian life and property. In this way, the supremacy of Yah was demonstrated over all their gods as every one of their deities was overthrown by Yah's judgments. So understand that the 10 plagues that Yah brought were against the 10 deities that Egypt started falsely worshiping. And this is why the Most High had decided that he would destroy this land of Egypt when he first sent Moses into the land. Before he even sent him there, he says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart because I want to judge Egypt because they have corrupted themselves. Because many people don't know that Egypt used to be the people of the Most High. And they're going to be his people again. But they had corrupted themselves. And so he had determined that I'm going to create for me a new nation. I'm going to send them into my old nation and let them become a nation. And then I'm going to bring them out. And they're going to spoil the nation that I made great. That's part of this story. So he uses the 10 judgments. The 10 plagues are all against the 10 Egyptian deities that they use to govern their lives. It has become a tradition to not drink this cup, this second cup, even though we're going to drink it later, but we're going to do some things with it. So I pray that you wash your hands. This is part of the ritual washing. I want you to take the second cup that you poured, and hopefully you have a plate in front of you. You don't have to use a lot of wine. Use a finger, because we're going to do some symbolic things to help us strengthen this in our mind and as part of this celebration. Okay. The blood that was spilt by making some drops of wine, sprinkle a drop of wine for each plague. So what you're going to do is you're going to take your finger, you're going to stick it into your cup of wine or grape juice, and you are going to sprinkle it in the plate. Okay, as we name off these plagues. So remember what the Most High did. Okay. A full cup symbolizes the fullness of joy. And we rejoice tonight in the deliverance that Yah provides and then has extended toward us today. But we don't rejoice in what it costs to procure that deliverance for us. So we want to celebrate the deliverance, but we don't want to celebrate what it costs, because it costs people their lives. Neither as believers in Yahushua is our joy complete as long as so many are still in bondage to sin. So we diminish our cup to show that our joy is incomplete because of these things. These are the 10 plagues which the Most Holy brought upon the house of Egypt. The blood, frogs, lice, swarms of insects, cattle disease, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and the slaying of the firstborn. When Yahushua went into the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of his betrayal, he drank this bitter cup for us. As he agonized in prayer, he sweat great drops of blood, wrestling with the powers of darkness that came against him in that hour of trial, to come to that place where he said, "Not my will, but thine will be done." On the stake itself, or on the cross, the sin of the whole world and every curse from sin was placed upon him. For our sin, for it was placed upon him. And he went through that to set us free. So we need to keep this mind that in his being faithful and going to the cross, that he went to the cross for the sins of the whole world. At first to the Hebrew, and then to the whole world. He took the wrath of Elohim upon himself for our sin. Yahushua went to the execution stake or the cross to set us free from the judgments which were due to come upon us for our sin. Let us now dip a finger in the fruit of the vine as a symbol of the bowl of Elohim's wrath. So this cup is going to represent the bowl of Elohim's wrath at this moment. The drops of wine represent the blood that was spilt for our salvation. As I repeat the Ten Commandments, let us spill one drop of wine for each of the commandments. which we have broken, to remember the agony Yahushua went through on the cross to set us free. Let us go to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And we're going to read down through verse 17. And we're just going to read these right now, and then I will repeat them where we broke them. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of Yah, thy Elohim, in vain, for Yah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days Yah made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And I want everybody to take their cup, the cup that is representing the wrath of the Most High right now. Take a finger, whether it is grape juice or whether it is wine, and each of these that I name, stick your finger in and let a drop fall into your plate, representing the blood of his wrath, not loving him with all our minds or our soul, all our heart or our strength. Stick your finger in and drop a drop of wine or grape juice on your plate. These are the things, the commandments that we broke, having images of other things in our life which we worship. Stick your finger in the cup and drop a drop on the plate. Not reverencing and honoring the name of Yah. Stick a finger in and drop a drop. Not keeping the Sabbath day. Keep the finger in and drop a drop. Not honoring our mother and our fathers. You know, we may not be guilty of all these, but we've broken some of these for sure. But this is what mankind has done. Having hatred in our heart and drinking evil and thinking evil of our brother. Stick a finger in the cup and drop a drop in the plate. Having adulterous thoughts or feelings or behaviors toward the opposite sex. Stick a finger in the cup and drop a drop in your plate. Stealing from others what belongs to them. Stick a finger in and make a drop. Speaking falsely against our neighbors. Stick a finger in and make a drop. being covetous, jealous, or envious of someone else and what they have. This cup reminds us that we are unable to save ourselves from wrath. If it was not for the blood of HaMashiach, we would truly be in trouble. We're not able to save ourselves from wrath and judgment, and we must have the blood of Messiah, the Passover lamb, applied in faith to the doorposts of our hearts to pass over from death to life. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son of love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 12. Let's declare our freedom from these things, knowing that we were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold, from your futile ways of life inherited from our forefathers, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot. Let us remember that we were redeemed by his blood. We should not take that for granted. And we should reverence that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Therefore, it is our duty to thank, praise, and pay tribute, glorify, exalt, and honor, bless, extol, and exclaim him who performed all these miracles for our fathers and for us. He brought us forth from slavery to freedom, from grief to joy, from mourning to festivity, from darkness to great light, and from servitude to redemption. Let us therefore recite a new song before him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let us go to the book of Psalms, chapter 136. And Sister Mary, I'm going to have you repeat for the people. When I say all, you'll repeat for the people, okay?
Okay.
All right, amen. Praise Yah. Psalm 136. Praise Yah. Praise, O servants of Yah. Praise the name of Yah. And Sister Mary, let the name of Yah be praised.
Let the name of Yah be praised.
Both now and forevermore.
Both now and forevermore.
Amen. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of Yah is to be praised. Sister Mary, Yah is exalted over all the nations.
Yah is exalted over all the nations.
His glory above the heavens.
His glory above the heavens.
Amen. Who is like Yah, our Elohim, the one who sits enthroned on high? And Sister Mary, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth?
Who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth?
Amen. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. And Sister Mary, he seats them with princes.
He seats them with princes.
With the princes of their people.
With the princes of their people.
Amen.
Amen.
He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. And Sister Mary, praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Amen and amen. Thank you, my sister.
You're welcome.
And we're going to do, it's a traditional song. It's called It Would Have Been Enough. And I will do this portion. It Would Have Been Enough. And you know I can't sing, so I'm just going to read it because I don't want to hurt nobody's ears. The Hebrew Israelite said if Elohim had only delivered them from Egypt, it would have been enough. That is, it would have been sufficient. This is a traditional song of thanksgiving for the deliverance of the Exodus. We would have been satisfied had he only brought us out of Egypt. It would have been enough. If he had only given us the Sabbath, it would have been enough. Had he only given us the Torah, it would have been enough. Had he only given us Yahushua, it would have been enough. Take the second cup in your hand now and drink the second cup. Amen. And when you have finished drinking your cup, Sister Mary, if you will repeat this.
I'm finished.
Blessed are you, Yah, our Elohim.
Blessed are you, Yah, our Elohim.
King of the universe.
King of the universe.
Who makes the fruit of the vine.
Who makes the fruit of the vine.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. At this point, we have already washed our hands. In the future, as I said, when we meet and have Passover, we will have a foot washing as well as part of this ceremony. If you are at your home and you are doing this with your family and you want to do a foot washing, I would say wait and do it after the service so you don't miss anything else, because we're not going to do it right here. But this is where, as the leader of your home, if we were in the sanctuary, then I would wash all the saints' feet, just as Messiah did. But in your home, that the leader in the home wash all of the people in his home's feet, or if it's female, let her do it. Okay. The breaking of bread. So right now, for everyone who is here, whatever you're using, whether it's a cracker, a wafer, flatbread, I want you to take 2 pieces of unleavened bread, 2 pieces of cracker or what have you. And these 2 pieces of unleavened bread are going to be used to symbolize the 2 mighty acts of redemption in this part of the service. One portion is left whole on the table. So you're going to break one. You're going to put one whole, and the other is taken and broken into 2 pieces, one larger than the other. The larger piece is wrapped in a cloth until later. So get 2 pieces of 2 crackers or 2 pieces of unleavened bread, 2 pieces of flatbread, whatever you're using. Put one, leave one out. And the second one, I want you to break it, tear it, do whatever you have to do, but don't tear it evenly. Make one piece larger than the other. And then if you have a paper towel or a cloth, clean cloth like a napkin or whatever, at your disposal, put the larger piece of the one that you broke, put it into that cloth. All right, amen. Let's proceed. Now, in real life, as we do this, when I say real life or real time, as we do this in service, then these things do have impact, especially when we're doing it corporately for what they represent. These 2 pieces of unleavened bread represents the 2 acts of redemption with Yah ordained for his people. The first piece of unleavened bread represents the deliverance of Israel as a nation in the Exodus from Egypt. The second piece is used as a representation of Israel's future hope of redemption through Messiah. Now, we know not only Israel, but the rest of the world. But, you know, there is our forefathers, for the most part, rejected Messiah. And that is how we got scattered. That is how we got kicked out of the land for, you know, their disobedience and their rejection of Messiah. And while we are in our, in the diaspora, scattered, still in the nations of the world, a lot of us have come to Mashiach. A lot of us are in false religions. A lot of us, you know, just refuse. If we have come to the knowledge that we're Israel, then we refuse to believe in Messiah. We want to be Torah only. Don't want to accept the New Testament. So there is still an element of us that are going to bring the, those prophecies true for the last days, okay? So the redemption of Israel for those who just never accepted Messiah. All right, the second piece is used as a representation of Israel's future hope of redemption through Messiah. In taking this second whole piece and breaking a portion from it to represent Messiah. So that piece that we broke off represents Messiah, which is put away to return at the end of this meal. Okay, so you're going to take that second piece and you're going to put it in that cloth and you're going to set it to the side because that represents Messiah's return. Let's talk about what he did before then. That second piece in this meal is called the afikoman. Okay? The afikoman, not mint, but men. Afikoman. So break off a large piece and wrap it in a cloth. The large piece represents Messiah. The bread left on the table is called the bread of affliction. So remember we took out two pieces. Traditionally, the leader of the service, as he broke the bread, said, "This is the bread of affliction, which our fathers ate in the land of Egypt." When Yahushua broke the bread, he instituted a new observance of the Passover with himself as the sacrificial lamb. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you." In Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, when Yahushua broke the bread on the night of his betrayal, it represented what would happen the next day at Passover feast. We know how he was what? Beaten and tormented, how he was broken. When he offered his body as the bread of life, broken, pierced, and wounded, bearing our sins on the tree, offered his body on the tree. As we eat it, we enter symbolically into covenant, which he established through this emblem, this bread. He was afflicted and wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. He was broken. I need to blow the, hold on a minute, I need to blow this candle out because it gave me a problem. Well, let me move it. I'm not going to blow it out. Let me move it, these candles, because they're giving me a glare that I can't see. 1 second. All right, amen. He was broken as the unleavened bread. He arose as the first fruits from the grave to become again for his people and to complete their redemption. In his second coming, he will return as the one represented by the larger portion of the second piece of bread, which has been called the Afikoman, the coming one. This speaks of his return in glory to conquer his enemies and to take his beloved bride to himself. The best portion is yet to come. This last piece, and that's the big piece that you have in wrapped up, the afikoman, is set aside in expectation of the redemption yet to come through Messiah and eaten after the meal before we drink the third cup. So the afikoman should be under cover. It should be wrapped up, set aside. Let us talk about the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs. The blessing of the unleavened bread. Blessing the bread, Yahushua said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And the bread also which I shall give for life, for the life of the world, is my flesh. John chapter 6, verse 32. And verses 48 through 51. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. John chapter 6, verses 57 through 59. All right, Sister Mary, you're going to respond for the people. Blessed are you, Yah, our Elohim.
Blessed are you, Yah, our Elohim.
King of the universe.
King of the universe.
Who has given us bread, who has given us the bread of life.
Who has given us the bread of life.
And commanded us to live by every word.
And commanded us to live by every word.
Which proceeded out of the mouth of Elohim.
That proceeded out of the mouth of Elohim.
All right, that other piece that you broke off, that smaller piece, take a piece of it, everyone. And you should have a piece of unleavened bread that you're going to eat here shortly. So take, break a piece. And if you have the family, if you're using, you know, one cracker or however you're going to divvy it up, each one break off a piece. As we proceed, the bitter herbs. So if you have like horseradish or some type of radish or whatever it is that you're using for bitter herbs, let us bless them. So as we take the bitter herbs, blessed art thou, Yah Elohim, King of the universe, who has sanctified us in your commandments and has commanded us to eat the bitter herbs. With unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, they shall eat the Passover sacrifice. The sweet dip or the fruit salad that you may have, something represented sweet, usually cut up apples with honey on them or whatever, and cinnamon. That mixture has, if you use apples, then the apples, the red on the apples is supposed to represent the bricks that our forefathers had to make when they were instructed to build the cities for Pharaoh. Because remember from our studies, our forefathers were actually sheep herders, and when we went into Egypt, Joseph and Pharaoh made us the royal sheep herders. That was our job to Pharaoh. And so when this Pharaoh came in to power after Joseph died, they didn't know Joseph, and we found out that that was an Assyrian Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. He wasn't a traditional Egyptian Pharaoh, but an Assyrian Pharaoh. They took over Egypt, and he didn't know Joseph, and so he caused the people, our forefathers, to start to build cities rather than be herdsmen, okay? And so the apples, the red in the apples, represents the bricks that this Pharaoh cause our people to have to make. It reminds us that because of the hope we have in Yeshua, that most bitter experiences and suffering can be turned into something sweet. So we have the bitter herbs, and then we have the karochas, which is the sweet, I'm trying to think what you would call this, like a sweet salad or a sweet dip, that represents Messiah. Okay. So as you, whatever you're using for your bitter herbs, I want you to take one piece of the unleavened bread and dip it into that bitter herb, or bite the bitter herb if you have like a radish or however you got it prepared, and eat a piece of the unleavened bread with that bitter herb. And I'll give you a hot second to do that. So this represents, let me not speak with my mouth full. This represents and reminds us of the bitterness that our forefathers went through in their bondage to Pharaoh. And when you have finished that, if you will break off another piece of unleavened bread, another piece of cracker, whatever you're using, and you're going to dip that into the sweet sauce, fruit salad, whatever it is that you're using, and that's going to remind you of the sweetness of Messiah. And then we'll make a sandwich out of this, small sandwich. So you take a little bit of, like I have horseradish and the apples with honey on them. Put one on one cracker, one on the other, and sandwich them together. And that will remind you that the bitterness that we can experience in this life, the bitterness of bondage and the bitterness of, our bondage to slavery, our bondage to sin, that Messiah can make those things sweeter. The salvation that he provides makes those situations sweeter in our life. That's what those two represent. Numbers chapter 28 and verse 17. The book of Numbers chapter 28 and verse 17. It is Yah's Passover. Let us prepare for the Passover meal. So this day shall be unto you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to Yah. Let us celebrate the goodness of Elohim's salvation in the Passover and enjoy this meal. So if you have your Passover meal with you now, which you should have, let us go ahead and eat the Passover. And I'm going to give you, let's say, 30 minutes. It is now 6:44, 44 after the hour. And We will return at 15 after the hour. And I will play music until that time. All right. Amen. Or well, you're the only one that can reply. Now let me find what I want to play here. I know where it's at. Where is it at? Here we go. All right. So let each family get their meal, and we will resume at a quarter after the hour.
I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Show up while you're dreaming. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. Every day you try to pick up all the pieces, all the memories that somehow never leave you. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love that God only knows.
You keep a cover over every single secret. So then they would leave. But somebody, somebody, somebody sees you. Somebody, somebody will never leave you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.
God only knows what you've been.
Been praying and you still have no answers. Have you been pouring out your heart for so many years? Have you been hoping that things would have changed by now? Have you cried all the faith you have through so many tears?
Like the bright sunrise, waiting on the other side of the darkest night. Don't ever lose hope, hold on.
can't believe. Maybe you just haven't seen it. Just haven't seen it yet. You're closer than you think you are. Only moments from the break of dawn. All his promises are just up ahead. Maybe you just haven't seen it. Just haven't seen it yet.
I don't have to fear scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. And with my life I'll tell of who you are. So forever I am
heaven comes to fight. bring me to my knees. And it's overwhelming, turn its echoes all around. Feels like everything is crashing down. Still I know where my hope is found. And it's only you and
music don't, from all my unruly notes, this is dissonance moving closer. I see, erase the scales from my eyes, then play the scale of my life. Chaos played off with a chord and a core with a source prevented through strife. I've tasted suffering, I've been embraced by the painful buffering. I've been bound by doubt so loud right now, but a melody is made when you play these rusty keys. So we all gotta get pressed, tuned up like instruments. But I know, all of life's people with sad whenever we remember this.
Drowning out the voices all around me. Through all of this chaos, you are writing a symphony, a symphony. And even in the madness, there's peace. Drowning out the voices all around me. Through all of this chaos, you are writing a symphony, a symphony.
Shines for all to see. by your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. Come on. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Yeah. Resurrecting me. Oh, God is
borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the
Passover meal, and as you ate well, let us thank the Most High. Let us give thanks to Yah for the meal that we have just enjoyed. Thank you, Father, for providing to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this meal that we have ate. May the name of Yah be blessed from this time forth and forever. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father, our Abba. Abundance we have partaken in the abundance that we have partaken with you. We praise you, O Yah, our Elohim, our Savior, and our King, who gives us bread and to give bread to all flesh, for your loving kindness endures forever. Amen and amen. Now we will do the officiament, which is the other piece of the other piece of unleavened bread that we had. So let's talk about the officiament for a minute. After the destruction of the temple, Judaism incorporated an early messianic tradition of officiament to be a substitute for the lamb in the ceremony, which was the final food for the Passover feast. However, they did not identify with it as the buried and risen Messiah. So the early church, you know, they started doing, rather than, because there was no temple, they started doing this officiament, but they didn't identify it with who? Messiah. The officiament is a symbolic type of death and resurrection of Yeshua, where the bread of affliction is wrapped in grave cloths, as it were. That's what that wrapping it up in the paper or in that cloth represents. To come forth at the end of the feast as the resurrected body of Messiah. So when we remove this piece of unleavened bread, wafer, cracker, whatever you're using from the cloth, this represents Messiah coming, his return, okay? Him being resurrected from the dead. So at your house, go ahead and take the officiament, which is the second piece of unleavened. Take it out of that wrap and break, you know, pass it around to each family member and have them to break a piece off. And this represents the resurrected life of Yeshua HaMashiach, which he has imparted to us. Because as he was resurrected, so are we supposed to be what? Resurrected. Yeshua said, do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. We eat the bread as a renewal of our participation in the communion of his body as part of the sacrificial meal that he instituted in the new covenant as a shadow of the marriage supper in the kingdom. We thank you, Father, for sending Yahshua to die for our sins and become the bread of life to us through the eternal spirit, through the Ruach HaKodesh. So let us bless this piece of leaven. Father, bless this piece of unleavened bread as it represents the body that was broken for us and how we will be resurrected when Yahushua returns. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen. And you may eat the officiament. Let us give thanks to the Most High Elohim. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the body of Messiah. Hallelujah. Thank you for his willingness to go to the cross for us, that his body might be broken, that you took out on him rather than taking it out on me. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank you, Father, for Mashiach being obedient. Glory. Hallelujah. If you will get your cup again, I told you we would be drinking four cups. We have drank two. Get your cup again and pour as such as you will drink. The cup of redemption. For the Most High said, I will redeem you. His plan of salvation was in those verses. What he did for Israel is what he did for mankind. I will redeem you, representing the blood that he shed for our sins. This is the third cup of the service, which symbolizes the blood of the Passover lamb. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant that Yah has made with you in accordance with all these words. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 8. Behold, the days cometh, declares Yah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the days that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. But this is the covenant that I will make with them, with the house of Israel, after those days, declares Yah. I will put my law within them, and on their hearts I will write it, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. This cup symbolizes the spiritual redemption found in Messiah's sacrifice, wherein he imparted his spirit to us. Yeshua said, this is the cup in my blood, which is shed for you. Luke chapter 22 and verse 20. Yahushua told the disciples that his blood was to seal the new covenant, to which the prophets had looked forward, a covenant which would inaugurate and seal a greater redemption than that from Egypt. We are entered into a blood covenant with Yahushua and with one another in taking this cup. Paul said, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread which we did before the meal and drank the cup. For whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of Yah unworthily or in an unworthy manner, that is, in a wrong spirit and attitude, walking in sin, not truly surrendering to Elohim, and following Yahushua HaMashiach, but in a rebellious spirit or holding resentment and grudges against others, shall be guilty of the body and blood of Messiah. In other words, since Yahushua died for our sins and shed his blood for us, thus forgiving us for all our iniquities, we must also forgive those who have wronged us and sinned against us. If we don't, then the sacrifice of Yahushua cannot apply to us, and we would be eating and drinking unworthily. We must be obedient to Yahushua and yield to him and his word if we are to be partakers of the Passover, and we must forgive those who have sinned against us or hurt us. The book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 14 and 15, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Let us pray. We're going to pray that Messiah will guide us, that we don't partake of this cup unworthily, but that we take of it worthily. And thank Elohim for the precious blood of his Passover lamb, who gave us his all, that we might have eternal life. So I want each and every person to think about that. And where you are, let us stand. And each take the cup that we just poured. And we want to thank Messiah for what he's done for us. We want to glorify him. Just as the blood of the Lamb brought us salvation in Egypt, brought our forefathers salvation in Egypt, so it is only the atoning blood of Messiah that can provide salvation to us. We praise you, our Father, our King, our Sovereign Elohim, through Yeshua the Messiah, for your great salvation in blessing us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we belong to your dear Son. We thank you that you loved us and chose us in Messiah to be holy and without fault in his eyes before the foundations of the world. We thank you for your unchanging plan to adopt us into your family through Yeshua HaMashiach by purchasing us and redeeming us from the hand of the enemy. For this we give praise, glory, and honor to you, our glorious Elohim. The book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, and then verses 13 and 14. You may drink the cup of the blood of Messiah, giving him all praise and thanking him for the work that he has done in being our Passover lamb. Amen. Let us give the Most High hand cup of praise. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the blood. Thank you for the precious blood of Mashiach. Hallelujah. And pay the price that we couldn't pay for ourselves. Hallelujah. He made a way where there was no way, Father. And we just glorify you and thank you and we lift you up. We magnify him on this day, our Passover lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for putting us up under the blood of the Lamb and putting us where, Father, if we stay obedient, that you will pass over judgment on us by the work that he did. Hallelujah and hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. The fourth cup, the cup of glorification. I will take you as my own. This is what the Most High promised Israel. This is what he's promising us in what? Salvation. I will take you as my own, the cup of glorification. He brought us out of the world as he called out, as a called out people. That was the first cup. He rescued us from the bondage of sin. That was the second cup. He redeemed us with an outstretched arm on the cross. That was the third cup. In Exodus chapter 6 and 7, we see the fourth cup. I will take you as my people, called out ones, and I will be your Elohim. This is what he told Israel. This is what he tells all the faithful saints. And I will be your Elohim. Yeshua said he would drink this cup with us in the kingdom of Elohim at the marriage supper for which we wait and celebrate and proclaim his death until he returns as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Therefore, this is also the cup of hope. This is also the cup of hope, looking forward to the restoration and the fulfillment of all things. Yeshua said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The book of John, chapter 14. Verses 2 and 3. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love, or no greater love, has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The book of John, chapter 15, verses 9 and 13. The unfinished part of the marriage arrangement covenant with his beloved was for the heavenly bridegroom to go and prepare a bride chamber, ready to take his betrothed bride. Then, when all is prepared, he will come again. At the marriage supper, we shall drink the fourth cup, the cup of praise, to celebrate and consummate the marriage union. And we shall be his people, and he shall be our Elohim. Revelations chapter 20 and verse 3. While this cup is that of our final redemption, it is also the cup of judgment. For the rebellious and disobedient who do not obey the message of his salvation, the book of Revelations, chapter 11, verses 15 through 18, the book of Matthews, chapter 24, verses 30 through 31, and the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 11 through 20. Let us lift up the cup of salvation, and let's go ahead and pour that fourth cup. And these are like toasts to the Most High. In this celebration. Let us lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of Yah as we drink the fourth cup with the affirmation, Maranatha, the old Aramaic word meaning, O Yah, come. As did the early church, let us say it together as we drink the cup, until he comes. So let us say, O Yah, come, and let's drink the cup together. O Yah, come.
Yah.
Hallelujah. You can go ahead, my sister.
O Yah, come.
Amen.
Amen.
We wait on his return.
Hallelujah.
The glorious appearing of Messiah, our Elohim, our Redeemer and our Savior. The day that he cracks the sky and calls all those who have suffered and been obedient with him, been obedient to him.
Amen.
We look forward to that day when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. Book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15. And will join the heavenly throng, saying, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing for you, Yah, our Elohim. You, Yah, our Elohim, are worthy of honor and praise and glory and dominion and power unto you forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
The book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. Blessed be your holy name forever and ever, and we will be with him in the New Jerusalem. He will be our Elohim, and we will be his people forevermore. The book of Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 14. And he will wipe away every tear, and the former things will pass away.
Hallelujah.
Maranatha. Amen and hallelujah. Amen, my sister. In closing, we call out to you, Yah, our Master, and our Elohim, to have compassion upon us, your people, upon Jerusalem, your holy city, and Zion, the dwelling place of your glory. Give us your everlasting joy to ascend her heights and restore your holy city to your anointed, before whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Yah, to the glory of Elohim the Father. Amen. The grace of our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
The book of Revelations, chapter 21, verses 9 through 11, verses 22, chapter 22, verses 12 and 13, chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. This service of the Passover is now complete. We have observed this night as you have instructed us to do throughout our generations, according to the laws and customs we have received. Amen. Let us give the Most High hand clap of praise and happy Amen. Passover and Feast of Unleavened to each and every one of you.
Happy Passover.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. On tomorrow, we will continue with the discipleship series for Shabbat. I pray that you all are able to attend. I have to look and see where we're going to be at in that series. But I know that we're still in it, and so we're going to continue. So it will be discipleship, and it will be coming from, I think we have to finish up in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 in the doctrines of Messiah. And so we should be moving on to, I think it's this everlasting judgment. I could be wrong there, but I believe it's everlasting judgment that we will be doing in the morning, that his judgment are everlasting, and all of his judgments are for eternity. So we want to understand that we're either going to be in eternal bliss or we're going to be in eternal hell.
Man.
There ain't no in between. And so we're going to look at that, because this is what Messiah taught. We're looking at the doctrines of Messiah so that we understand. And that this should, you know, continue to reaffirm the terror of the Most High in us. That he don't play. Messiah was showing us that he don't play. So we will look at that. I believe that's it. If it's different, then I you know, when I send it out in the message, you'll know what it, in the text, you'll know exactly what the message is. But I believe it's his eternal judgment. It's what we're going to be looking at in the morning. Happy Passover, happy Feast of Unleavened to each and every one of you. And I pray that you are able to keep the Feast of Unleavened. Remember that the last day of the feast is also a what? Holy day.
Holy.
So we have coming up Sunday, we have the Heave Offspring, or the Feast of First Fruits. Please have something available to heave before the Most High. An offering for him as we keep the feast and lift an offering to him that he may bless us in all that we do. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Sister Denise. If
yeah.
you're asleep. Amen. Yeah, I hope you planted those pieces of garlic already.
I have. Yeah, I did.
Okay. Yeah, they were good to go. I didn't forget about you. I just forgot about you. But I didn't forget.
I meant
to bring it up the other day and forgot. But I had looked into it. All right. So I pray to see everybody on tomorrow evening. This felt like This feels like the Sabbath right now. See everybody on tomorrow evening, and happy Sabbath and happy Passover to each and every one of you.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
You too, my sister, and thank you for reading. I mean, for taking the part of the people for me.
No problem.
All right. Peace and blessings.
You too, bro.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Which dwelleth in